We will begin with Dafir Aleph Amar Aleph at the Mishnah Tapad Amid. Says the Mishnah, we saw somebody running after Metziah. As the Mefarshim point out, I saw somebody running after Metziah, as we'll see in my field, but I'm not even sure what the Metziah is. And I wasn't even aware that there was a Metziah in my field, only because I saw you trying to get it. That doesn't change the halacha that our Mishnah is going to teach us. So if it was Achat Tzvi Shavar, if he was running after a lame deer, a deer that can't run that quickly, Achat Gozlish Leparchu, they were running after birds that can't fly, and I say, Vamazachsli Sada, that my chatzar, which will be the primary topic of today's shir, Kinyan Chatzar, I say that my Sada should be kind of this bird, Zachsalai. Then it becomes mine and no one else's. However, Hayutsvi Rot Kadarkoi, if the deer was running as it normally would, Ayshayugaislus Mafrichim, or there were birds flying, and under normal circumstances, I cannot catch that deer, I cannot catch those birds, Vamazachsli Sada, and I still try to affect here a Kinyan Chatzar, teaches us the Mishnah Layamaklum, it's not an effective kinyan. Mefarshim point out what would be the halacha if it's a bird, it's a deer that can run, doesn't have any problem, but it doesn't run that fast, or I could run quickly. Seems that the Mefarshim say that then I can make a kinyan chatzar. Very fundamental machloikus rishonim in the understanding of this Mishnah. If for kinyan chatzar to be effective, as it seems the Mishnah says, do you have to declare that you want a Kinyan Chatzar? Some Rishonim say that a Kinyan Chatzar is only effective if one declares so. Other Rishonim, Taisus, says that it's not, the verbal declaration is not required. And yet a third opinion in the Rishonim is, as we're going to learn immediately in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, there's a difference between a Chatzar Mishtameris, a field which is properly guarded versus a field which is not properly fenced, that the halacha is in a field that's properly fenced, you don't need to have the verbal declaration for Kinyan Chatzar to be effective, versus in an open field, you have to have an oral declaration. It's interesting to note, I saw from the Brisker Rav, that when people would bring him Shalach Manas on Purim, and they would put it down on the table, he would declare that he's being kinda those shalach manas, because it was a kinyan chatzar, they're putting it on the table, and he obviously wanted to be machmer, like the opinions, that a kinyan chatzar requires a verbal declaration. Amar Yehuda Mishmu, when is a kinyan chatzar effective? If he's standing there. Here too we have a machlokes rishonim. What does it mean that he's standing there? Some rishonim say that he doesn't have to be actually standing in the field. As long as he's standing next to the field, it's enough. Other Rishonim say, no, he has to be actually in the field. What is the simple way that the Mefarshim explained this Machloikus Rishonim is, what is the basis of a Kinyan Chatzar? Is the basis of a Kinyan Chatzar Yad, as we discussed in the previous year, and a Yad is right next to me. So just like the Yad, to be effective, the Yad is connected to me, so too he would have to be in the field. Others say that it works because of Shlichus. And Shlichus doesn't require it should be actually in the field. Ask the Nesivis, if we're going to say that Chatzar works because of Shlichus, and Shlichus doesn't need that you should be right in the field, so then why do you have to be even near the field? As long as you're there, as long as you're appointing the field to be your chatzar, to be kind, it should be enough, even if you're far away. So answers the Nesivis, as we're going to learn in the moment in the Gemara, that the only time you have to be near or in the field is a chatzar she'ena mishtameris, a field that's not properly guarded. Says the Nesivis, absolutely, chatzar works because of shlichus, and if chatzar works because of shlichus, you don't even have to be near the field. But you'll still have another problem. It remains a chatzar she'ena mishtameris. And a chatzar she'ena mishtameris is not a kinyan chatzar, The only way it becomes a chatz and mishtameris is by you standing next to the field. So it's not because the kinyan chatz requires you to be standing next to the field. The shimur, in order for it to become a chatz and mishtameris, requires you to be next to the field. Furthermore, I saw from the Sefer Beis Aaron that this machloikus that we just quoted, that this machloikus rishonim is the basis for another machloikus rishonim. There's a machlokes rishonim. Now we're learning that you have to stand next to the field, in the field, to have a kinyan chatzar. What would be the halacha if I'm not standing there, but I have a shliach of mine standing there? Can we have a kinyan chatzar? So he says, if we say chatzar works because of shlichus, so it doesn't make a difference if I'm standing there or a shliach of mine is standing there. But if we say that chatzar works because of a lamdus of yad, yad has to be my yad, and having a shliach do it on my behalf would not be effective. Ask the Gemara, why do I have to stand there? V'tikna l'sadeyu, kinyan chatzar should work anyway. Don Rabbi Yosef b'chanina, chatzar shel adam, kaina lo shloi medatoi. My chatzar is always kaina for me. And as Davni Nezer points out, he says, even though normally for a kinyan to be effective, we know the halach is, there has to be das, I have to be recognizing that I'm creating, I'm doing a kinyan, that's every other kinyan. Chatzar doesn't work with a lamdus of kinyanim, says Davni Nezer. Chatzar works with a lamdus that it's in my chatzar. So if it's in my chatzar, what's the difference if I'm standing there or not? Answers the Gemara. Hani mili, where doesn't it require that I stand there, the chatzar mishtameris, a chatzar that's properly guarded? Machlokes rishonim here too. What is mishtameris? Is a gate around the chotzer adequate, or does the gate also have to be closed? Av chotzer sheinu mishtameris, e oimed tzad tzedeyu in, then you could have a kinyan chotzer, iloy loy. Otherwise you can't. And as the Sefer Torah Chaim explains, since we're saying that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that is oimed tzad tzedeyu, so obviously our Mishnah is referring to a situation of a chotzer sheinu mishtameris. Why? Says the Torah is Chaim, because most fields were left open. So that's why the Gemara is explaining that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of a chatzar she'ein mishtameris, which is the usual case. However, v'hu sh'aymed tzad tzedeyu, who is standing there, and that's why you have a kinyan chatzar. Ask the Gemara, u'minat tamra, from where do we learn this distinction? The chatzar she'ein mishtameris, i'aymed tzad tzedeyu in, iloy loy, from where do we find this distinction if you're standing there or not? The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa. We know that one of the matnas aniyim is shicha. If somebody forgot sheaves of grain in the field, they belong to the aniyim. One of the fundamental halachas of shicha is that it's considered shicha only if both the worker, the poyel, who's working with that grain, and the owner of the grain forget it. Both have to forget it. Otherwise, it's not shicha. So, furthermore, the Rishonim point out, of course, what you can't do is say, you know what, I didn't forget any of my grain. And like that, you'll avoid giving shicha. You have to be able to identify the grain that you're not forgetting for it to not to become shicha. So says the Braisa, a difficult Braisa, as the Gemara is immediately going to point out. Hayayim of the ear. The grain is in the field, and the owner is in the city. Voimer, and he declares, I am aware that the oimer I have in the field, the workers forgot about it. However, I didn't forget it, and therefore it should not become shecha. So we would think that that declaration should be adequate to prevent it from becoming shecha. Tamaloim v'shachachta oimer besada. Besada v'shachachta v'loi be'ir. So ask the Gemara, as I said, the obvious question. Haguf akash, let's understand what this Braiser is saying. Amrit, the Braiser begins with the words, yocha loy shecha. One would think that by me standing in the city making this declaration, I could prevent it from being shecha. I would think so. Teaches us the Braiser, it's not so. Alma, have a shecha. It does become shipcha. The nosav le gemara, and then the brisa brings a pasuk, the sod of a shachachta v'loy be'ir. The shicha can only occur when I'm in in the field, not when I'm in the city. Alma, so obviously the Bryce is bringing a pasuk to prove that if I'm in the city, lo av shicha. So what is the case? Does it become shicha when I'm in the city, or doesn't it become shicha? How do I understand the Bryce? Elalaf, says the Gemara Hachikama. This is the way to understand the Bryce. Besada, if you're in the field, shechuach mikara, if I forget about the shicha, I forget about the grain, and then the workers forget about the grain, it becomes shicha. However, zocher, if I remember, I recognize the grain, even if l'b'soiv shechuach, again, this is Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara, the workers, after I remembered about this grain, forget about the grain, ain't shicha. It still won't become shicha. My tama, kiven de kaigabo, since I am standing next to the field, havle chetzeroi, by me remembering initially about the shicha, about the grain, will never be able to become shicha. Because by me standing next to the field, sachsalei, it becomes mine. Avol be'ir, in the city, afilu zocher ulabsoif shechuach, even if I remember and then forget, that means I knew about it, and then the pe'alim forgot about it, and then I forgot about it, have a shicha. It still could be kam shicha. My tama, why? The less gabei, the less galei. Because since I'm not physically close to the field, I'm in the city, so everything changes. So in other words, what the Gemara is suggesting in interpreting this brisa, there's a difference versus if I'm near the field, I'm the owner of the field, versus when I'm not near the field. If I'm near the field, as long as I remember it initially, it can never become shicha, because I'm standing right there. Versus when I'm in the city, since I'm not standing next to it, if I forget at any point, whether before the workers forgot or after the workers forgot, it's easier for it to become shicha because I'm removed from the field. So we see from here, there's a difference if I'm near the field or if I'm not near the field. Exactly what the Gemara has been saying is the difference by Kinyan Chatzar, there's a difference if I'm standing there or not. Ask the Gemara, Mamai, who says that that's the way to interpret the Braisa? Maybe Dilmagzeris Akosavhui. Maybe what the Braisa means to say is that there's the following rule based on what the Torah says, even though there's no explanation to this rule. The Besada, if the owner is standing near the field, Nehevi Shecha, then it can become Shecha. Or Be'ir, if the owner is standing in the city for no reason other than the Torah saying so, why never shicha? It can never become shicha if the owner isn't there. And has nothing to do with standing there or standing elsewhere. Amakra answers the Gemara, that can't be pshat in the Braisa. Because the Torah says, lo shoshev lekachtoi. The rabbi is shicha se'ir. It can become shicha even if the owner is in the city. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what the pasuk of Loisosh of Lekachtoi is coming to teach us? Don't we need that pasuk to teach us that if one doesn't leave the matnas aniyim of shicha, he's also over alav? Answers the Gemara, imke nemikra, if that's all the pasuk wanted to teach us, that one is over alav if he doesn't leave shicha, it would be adequate for the Torah to use the words loisikachena. Mais loisoshev. What does the Torah add the words loisoshev? Lerabois shicha sa'ir. That even if the owner is in the city, his grain can become subject to shicha. Ask the Rav Katimi Boilei. We need this din to teach this pasuk to teach us another din. Lechretnan. Shlefonav ein shicha, shlaachrov ye shicha. Shuval toshev. I'll just read the words and then I'll explain it. Zeklal. Which means as follows. Somebody goes and he starts working on a row of the field. And as he's working on this row of the field, he forgets some sheaves of grain. And now he's in the middle of a row and he decides enough for today, or he's going for a lunch break. And so he has two parts of the row. He has the part of the road that he already passed, that's Shila Achrof, and he has the part of the road that's Shila Fonov, that's in front of him, that he never reached. And now, he comes back from his lunch break, he comes back next morning, and instead of picking up in the row that he was in the middle of working on, he starts a new row. Do we say that the part of the row that was in front of him now becomes Shechah, because he obviously forgot to go back to the row? Or since he never worked on that part of the row, that part of the row was always Lefonov, it won't become Shechah. Teaches us the Pasuk that the part of the row that he never worked on, even though he very likely forgot about it, will not become Shechah. Let's read the words. Vakatim Ibaile, don't we need the Pasuk of Lesosh Lekach de Lechetnan? Shlefonov, the part of the road that I have not yet worked on, ain't Shechah. Even if I forgot it, won't be subject to becoming Shechah. It's only Shla Achrov, the part of the road that I already worked on, and I forgot grain in that part, yeh Shechah. Why? Shubal Toshav. Because the Torah says, don't go back to what you forgot. And therefore, Shea Klal, the rule for identifying is something Shechah or not, is the following. Kol Shubal Toshav, anything that would mean that I would have to go back to a part that I worked on already, Shechah becomes Shechah. Kosh ain't about Toshav. Anything that doesn't involve going back. Because going back means that I was there once. Here I was never there. Ain't a Shechah. So again, the Gemara's question is, why are you saying that the Pasuk means the Shechah Seir of a Shechah? The Pasuk's not coming to talk about Shechah Seir. The Pasuk is coming to teach us this thing. Answers the Ravashi. Am Ravashi, Am Akra, Yir. L'Rabbi Shechah Seir. The word Yir comes to teach us that if even if you, the owner on the city, your grain can be subject to Shechah. So that can't be pshat, as the Gemara wanted to suggest. Now, what is the difference? The difference is versus if I'm standing next to the field or I'm not standing next to the field, the distinction we made regarding Kinyan Chatzim. A nice vart that I saw. The Belzer Rebbe, Sar Shalom, once came to Lublin, to the Chayza. And he comes to Lublin, and the chassidim of the Chayza told him that the Chayza is in a depressed mood. And it's hard for him to greet people, it's hard for him to daven. So he went into the Chayza and he said, what's bothering you? So the Chayza said, we know that every Jew has a chiyuv, it's one of the animamins, to think about Yichud Hashem all of the time. Shvisi Hashem, Lenegdi, Summit. And I don't think that I'm thinking about God 24/7. So I'm upset. It's a chiyuv, it's an obligation. So the Belzer Rebbe answered based on this Gemara. He says, he asked the Chayza, will you think about Hashem? He says, of course I'll think about Hashem. So he says, our Gemara says, Kol Shulfonov. Anything that you will think about in the future, ain't a Shechah, doesn't mean that you forgot about him. So as long as you're telling me you will still think about Hashem, the fact that you might have forgotten Hashem and you haven't thought about him all the time, doesn't mean, Chas v'Shalom, that you forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Continues the Gemara, V'keinah im Ula, V'shu Uhusha im Tzatzadeyu. The Kinyan Chatzer in a field that's open is only effective if the person is standing there. V'keinah im Rabba B'Bachana, V'hushu im Tzatzadeyu. Ask the Gemara, Esvei Rav Abba L'Ula, Maisa B'Rav Gamliel V'Zakeinim. There was a story with Rav Gamliel and the Zakeinim, Sheboim B'Sfina. They were traveling on a boat. And as the Rishonim explained, they were traveling on the boat, and Rav Gamliel realized that he had grain at home, that he had not removed Trumas, that he had not removed different Maisras from. And he was concerned that perhaps people will eat from that maaser, from that tefuah, on the assumption that he took off trumas and maasers. So the Rishonim ask, we know that the Gemara says, Chazok al chaver she'enim moitz mitachs yodoy dovish she'enim besukin. That a chaver, a talmud chacham, never ends up in such a circumstance that he should have things that weren't properly tithed. So how did this happen? So one approach in the Rishonim is that Gamliel had originally intended to only leave for a short while. And that's actually what he did. And the halacha is that you have to be careful to take off the maestris only if you leave for a long time. Here he was leaving for a short time. He didn't think that it was necessary. But then on the boat, he started thinking, you know what, somebody may eat this tevel. Another teretz that the Tosfos use is that the issue wasn't because as we just said, if you're only traveling for a short while, it's not a problem. The issue here was that it was Shnas Habir. We know that in the third year and the sixth year, all of the Maestris by a certain time have to be burnt. And that time was coming, and that's what was Rav Gamliel's concern. Rishonim also point out that why wasn't Rav Gamliel concerned about Truma? So Rishonim say a number of terutzim. One terutz, if we follow Tosfos' approach, that the concern was beer. In the Shnas HaBir, there is no problem of Truma. It's only regarding the Maestris. If we say the issue was, why didn't he take it? So Rishonim explain, Midai Raisa, Chita Achas Peteres HaSakri. Taking off even one kernel fulfills your Truma obligation. So Gamliel certainly took off the Truma. It's no big deal to take off Truma. Another teretz that the Rishonim give is that by Meiser, you can't take off Meiser unless there was Meruach, that the processing was completed. And when Gamliel left, the processing wasn't completed yet. And that perhaps is why he didn't take off the Meiser. But Truma doesn't have that halacha. Even if there was no Meruach, you could take off Truma. So Gamliel took off the Truma, the Meisers he didn't. Aye, there's a problem, asked the Mefarshim, of Einam and Amukav. You can't take off Meiser if you're not next to it. So Chala is the same din. So Mefarshim explain a very important halacha. Einam and Amukav means that if you have the Meiser in one place, and if you're going to designate this barrel to be the Meiser, it's here, and you're going to designate the Tevel, or the part that's not Meiser elsewhere, that's Einam and Amukav. But Einam and Amukav doesn't mean that you have to be standing right next to it. As long as you're taking Meiser from the barrel, and the Meiser and the not Meiser are next to each other, we don't have a concern of Einam and Amukav. I saw, interestingly, from the Sefer Margolius Hayam, that we know in the Haggadah on Pesach, we say, Meiser, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, so Yom Subin, B'bnei Barak. So they say that this was the story, that they were this is what happened. It was this year, they were all traveling on the boat, they were all traveling in the boat, and they only arrived to Eretz Yisrael on Erev Pesach. Bnei Barak is near the port, and they all went to Bnei Barak to spend Pesach together because they couldn't get home. Because there's one question that everybody asks about our Agoda: how did these Tanoim leave their homes for Pesach? Pesach is a holiday to be at home, because they just arrived on Erev Pesach and they couldn't make it home. The only problem with this pshat is, so where was Rav Gamliel? Rav Gamliel is not one of the people mentioned in the Haggadah that he was with them. He was on the boat with them. So Mefarshim say that the Haggadah answers that question also. It says, how you mesubim b'mnei Barak. They were all mesubim. Rav Gamliel was the Nasi. The halacha is, if you're sitting by the Seder with the Nasi, you're not allowed to do a Seva, because it's not respectful to the Nasi. They wanted to do a Seva. So they told Rav Gamliel, you have your own Seder, and we'll have our own Seder, so we could do a Seva. Shayim Subin b'bnei Barak. Amr Gamliel. So Gamliel said the following. Maisa shani osud lobmud. The Maisa that I'm taking off here, Maisa Rishon, which goes to a Levi, not only Yeshua, should be given to Yeshua, umakoyma muskaloi. And the place where that is going to be on should be rented to him. Tosfos goes into the question that the Gemara says, we learned the Gemara, Masechet Ksubos, that after the Levim refused to come up with Ezra, Teretz Yisrael, he fined the Levim that they shouldn't get Meiser. So why did Yeshua get Meiser? He was a Levi. Ezra took the Meiser from the Levim to the Kohanim. So there are a number of answers given. I saw three answers. One answer is that Ezra's Knas wasn't that the Levim should lose the Meiser. It was that the Kohanim also should get it. It wasn't mean to take it away that the Levi can't get it. Another pshat, it was only for his generation did Ezra make that knas. Because in his time, the Levim refused to come to Eretz Yisrael. This was generations later. And a third teretz is that the only Levim that Ezra find were the Levim who were wealthy. So it says a wealthy Levi, even though he's entitled to Maaser Rishon, because they refused to come to Eretz Yisrael, should be deprived of the Maaser. Poor Levim were not deprived. And therefore Yeshua, who was poor, even though he was a Levi, was still allowed to get the Maaser. Visa Achashani Osalomit, the other next Maaser, it was a year of Maaser Oni, the third year or the sixth year, Nosan Lakiva ben Yosef, should be given to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was a Gabbait Stoka, Kadesh Shiyiska by Laniyim, he should be Zoichin this on behalf of the Niyim, Umakaima Muskalai. And he should have the place rented him where our Maaser is. Now again, Mefarshim asks, if we just said that Rabbi Yeshua was an Ani, so why didn't he give it to Rabbi Yeshua? Why did he give it to Rabbi Kiva? So one answer is, there are different Shiurim, what is an Ani for Levi to get Maaser Rishon, and for one to be allowed to get Maaser Ani. Or another simpler teretz is, Rabbi Kiva was the Gabbai stock for the whole community, and Rabbi Gamliel wanted that the entire community should be able to get, participate, and have from his Maaser Ani. Ask the Gemara, so what are we saying? That how did Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua, how were they zoich in the Maaser? By the fact that Rabbi Gamliel made for them a Kinyan Chotzer. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, B'tzad Tzedeyu, Shem Gamliel, Hayoimdim. They weren't there. And our whole Gemara has been teaching us that in order for Kinyan Chotzer to be effective, you have to be standing next to the Chotzer. So the obvious question is, maybe this field was a Chotzer Mishtameres. And the entire need to stand next to the Chotzer, to have a Kinyan Chotzer, is only by Chotzer Sheinim Mishtameres. So the simple teretz is, that most fields were left open. Another teretz that I saw is that this field was Mishtameres for Rav Gamliel. And even if Rav Gamliel wasn't there, his family knew to keep it Mishtameres on his behalf, or his workers knew to keep it Mishtameres on his behalf. The workers and the family of Rabbi Gamliel were not aware of what Rabbi Gamliel was doing with Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua. And there were no cell phones from the boat to the family to tell them so. So even if it was physically Mishtameres, it wasn't Mishtameres al das Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua. Nobody knew Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua were taking a Kinyan in this Chotzer. And therefore, as far as they're concerned, it's considered a Chotzer Sheina Mishtameres. So how could we have a Kinyan Chotzer? Again, asked the Gemara, V'chi, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, Mitzat, Sadeish, Rabbi Gamliel, Oimdim, Amalei. So, this is a proof that Kinyan Chotzer is effective even if you're not standing there. Amalei, so Rabbi Abba said, Dome Haimid Rabbonin, this Talmud Chacham seems to be like an individual, K'dloi Gamri Inchi Shmatza, as if he never learned. Kiosla Surah, but he didn't explain why it's not a question. He just said it's totally not a question. Ki asolai surah, when he came to surah, amai hacham ula, v'hachas facing. This is what Ula said, and this was the question. Amai hahum rabbanan. So one rabbanan said, it wasn't the Kinyan Chotzer that Rav Gamliel was trying to effect. Because as we explained, a Kinyan Chotzer would not be effective in such a circumstance, given that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua weren't standing next to the field. There's a different type of kinyan. It's called the kinyan agav. That if metatlin are on top of a chotzer, you could be kind of the metatlin agav the chotzer. And kinyan agav doesn't require you to be standing right there. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Zeira, Kibla. Rabbi Zeira was willing to accept this explanation. Rabbi Abba, like Kibla. Rabbi Abba wasn't willing to accept this explanation. Amar Rava, so Rava commented, Shaper of the Loikavla, he was correct in not accepting it. Because he could have said a simpler answer. V'chiloi hoylam suda liktus v'mena b'chalipin. There's a halacha, we've discussed it just the other day, that one of the types of kinyonim that are very effective, we actually learn about it in Megillus Rus, is kinyon suda. So why didn't Rabbi Gamliel do a Kenyan Seder with Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yeshua, thereby transferring ownership of their portions through a Kenyan Seder. Ella, the reason he wasn't able to do a Kenyan Seder, which is known as a Kenyan Chalipin, because Taivas are not an imam, ain't a mammon. Which means as follows. What is the pshat of a Kenyan? The pshat of a Kenyan is, as we always say, it's a transfer. Something belongs to me, and now I transfer it to you. So the question that comes up that the Gemara is discussing is if I have Tvua, and I'm separating Maiser, Maiser Rishon, Maiser Ani. I don't really own that Maiser Rishon. I don't own that Maiser Ani. It belongs to the Levi. It belongs to the Ani. So if we say, as we have learned, that the Torah gives me, the owner of the Tvua, the right to choose which Levi should get the Maiser Rishon, which Levi should get the Maiser Ani, which Ani should get the Maiser Ani, and I could demand a fee for that. That means, let's say, you have a son-in-law, a grandson who's a Levi, Rechman son or Ani, and you say to me, you're going to give your Maiser away to Levi, Maiser Rishon, your Maiser Ani, please choose my grandson, please choose my son-in-law. And you'll pay me for that. So then, Rabbi Gamliel had ownership in this Maiser, the Tovus Anah value. Error, says the Gemara. Our Gemara is following the opinion that even if one has a right to choose which Levi and which Ani, and even if one has a right to take a payment for that choice, that doesn't give me ownership. So what the Gemara is saying is that we are following the opinion that Tovus Hanah is not a is only a kinyan when I'm transferring something which belongs to me to you. Here I have no ownership, so Chalipin is not effective. If Chalipin is not effective, neither is Kinyan Agaf. So we're back to where we started. How could this Kinyan have been effective? Kinyan Chalipin doesn't work because Tovus Hanah is ain't a mammon. Kinyan Agav doesn't work because Tovus Hanah ain't a mammon. And Kinyan Chatzar shouldn't work because Rabbi Kiva and Yeshua weren't standing there. Velohi, says the Gemara, this comparison that we're treating Chalipin and Kinyan Agav in the same way is incorrect. Matanas Kahuna, regarding giving something to the Ani, to the Levi, to the Kayin, the Torah uses the words Nesinik Sibahu. And therefore, Chalipin, to do a Kinyan Chalipin, which is Derech Mekach Memkahu, it's not going to be an acceptable way of effecting a transfer. However, Matatman Agav Mitarka, Nesina Alimtihi, and even if Chalipin isn't effective, Kinyan Agav is effective. So just to summarize where we're up to. Kinyan Chatzar, we're still saying, requires you to be standing there. And that's why here there couldn't be a Kinyan Chatzar. Kinyan Chalipin requires that you should have ownership in the item that you're giving away. And since you have to have ownership in the item you're giving away, and perhaps Tovus Hanah in a moment would not be effective by Maiser, Kinyan Agav will be effective. It doesn't require you to stand there. And since it's a very strong form of Kinyan, it's effective even if you don't have real ownership in the item that's being transferred. Although, I saw a very interesting psak from Rav Tikhatsinsky that the kibbutzim, after they started becoming formed in Eretz Yisrael, used to amass a tremendous amount of maisris. And the question came up, how could you transfer ownership of those maisris to Leviim, to Aniim? With an effective means of Kinyan. Because again, the Leviim and the Aniim weren't standing there that it should be a Kinyan Chatzar. So Rav Tikhatsinsky says that a Kinyan Chalipin would be effective, which is very difficult to understand. Because our Gemara clearly says that a Kinyan Chalipin is not an effective means of transferring ownership of Maiser. So Shlomo Zalman in the Seif in Mishnah Shlomo, he says that He only says la alocha v'loy l'maisi. That's saying that it should be followed. It says a very interesting machshava. He says, in the times of Chazal, kinyan chalipin were the way people did business. And when was kinyan chalipin used? When I truly had ownership in the item and I was transferring it to you. He says, nowadays, nobody who really does business, you don't hear anybody selling any item with a kinyan chalipin. The kinyan chalipin is only a symbolic kinyan. A symbolic kinyan chalipin could work even on an item that you don't really own. And that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman said, Rav Tkaczynski said, you could use a kinyan chalipin now, even though in the times of Chazal, you cannot use a kinyan chalipin. But again, Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't want to say it l'maisa, he only said it to explain Rav Tkaczynski's psak. Rav Papama has a different explanation of this story. He says, what we began the shiur with, that a kinyan chotzer, to be effective, if the chotzer is not mishtameris, you have to be sitting next to the kinyan chotzer, is correct. But that, there's an exception to the rule. There are two types of kinyan chotzer. There's the kinyan chotzer that we learned about in our Mishnah, where I'm trying to take ownership of something that's in the chotzer. There's no seller and buyer. It's a hefker item. It's a mitziah. There you have to, if it's a chotzer shen mishtameris, you have to be standing here. But where there's a buyer and a seller, or a giver and a taker, it's all the same, called in halacha, das acheres, then you don't have to be standing there. Rav Papa madas acheres makna soshani. And since here we had Rav Gamliel on one side, and Rav Kiva Rav Yeshua on the other side, then a kinyan chatzah is effective even if Rav Kiva Rav Yeshua weren't standing there. Ask the Gemara, umanot temra, where do we take this distinction from? The Tanan, roina is a rochanach metziah. We go back to our Mishnah. Vom Rav Yirmiyah, in order for me to be able to make a kinyan chatzar on the item in my chatzar, I have to be able to catch it. Or by Rav Yirmiyah. And then Rav Yirmiyah asked the question, what would be dalocha? What would be dalocha if you're giving me something and you deposit it in my chatzar? Does it make a difference what type of item it is or not? And kabu minei Rav Abba Bar Kahana. There Rav Abba Bar Kahana said, afapi shirotz achreya, even if it's a type of an item that if you deposit it, it's a deer, it's a bird, I'm still kind it with a kinyan chotzer. My tama, because there's a giver and a taker. You're giving me the matan and I'm receiving it. My tama, la mishum the das acheres, maknoi son shani. Omler of simira papa. Let's understand that. Hare get, every get, there's a husband and a wife. The das acheres maknoi so. You have a husband and a wife, and yet, Ula said that in order for a woman to have received the get and she should be considered divorced through depositing the get in a chatzar, you need v'ushay medes b'tzad beisoy or b'tzad chatzera. She has to be actually physically standing there. Why? If it's a get, if we have a das acheres, we say kinyan chatzar is always effective, so why does she have to be standing there? Answers the Gemara, shani get isi bal karcha. You can't bring a ride from get. Because a get can be given even midaraisa, even against the woman's will. Ask the Gemara, maskler of shesh breder of idi, v'lav kavachoy mehu. The logic is just the opposite. Uma get the isabal karcha. The woman has no choice. She has to accept the get. Still we're saying, in order for a chotze to be able to be effective, if she's physically standing there in, then the get is considered have, that she has received the get. Eloi, Eloi, but if not, it's not considered she received a get. Matana, by a gift. Well, I don't have to receive the gift. I chose to receive the gift. The medatoi, like Halshgang, that certainly I agreed to receive it, and you agreed to give it to me. So it should certainly be effective, even if I'm not standing there. El Amar Vashi, Chotzer is Rabbi Mishim Yad. Chotzer has two basis in halacha to make it effective. On one hand, it's a yad, v'leigar mishlichas. On the other hand, it also works out shlichas. Gab get, regarding the receiving of a get, the chayv hula, typically in halacha, receiving a get is a chayv. So there we have halacha, ein chavim l'adam el b'fonav. So in other words, the chotzer cannot work on behalf of the woman unless she's standing there and is agreeable. because the chatzah can't work without her being acceptable to it, because ain't chavon l'adam b'fanav. Gaba matana, however, regarding a gift, the schusaloi, there is no downside. You're getting a gift. The halach is zochen l'adam shalai b'fanav, and the get and the receiving of the matana doesn't require him to be standing there because of das acheres makna yisai. I saw a very interesting shaila that was posed to Rav Moshe. Sometimes a get is not a chayv. Sometimes you have a situation where a woman is very desperate to get divorced, and finally she's getting divorced. But what would be the halacha if she has a chatzar in this city? She has a house, she has an apartment in the city. She's not here physically. And now we had the opportunity to get her a get, which we may lose that opportunity. So we go and we deposit the get in her home. Will that be considered an effective get? Because the Gemara is saying the only reason it's not an effective get if she's not there is because it's a chayv. Here we know it's a schus. So do we say that it could be subjected to different situations? Sometimes a get is a schus, sometimes it's a chayv. Or does the Gemara mean that a get is always considered a chayv and we don't look at specific circumstances? I saw a nice chassidish of art. Zochan la'adam shaloi b'fanav. You know which person is zoichen? You know which person is going to have schusim? La'odam shaloi, fun of the person that always considers himself shaloi, like he's nothing. If a person is always modest, zochin, he will have a lot of schusim.